الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقال الرسول: يا ربي إن قومي اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. The Quran Sharif's complaint on the day of Qiyamah will be a very, very severe thing. And that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam will also complain about the Ummah, that we discarded the Quran Sharif, we did not fulfill the rights of the Quran Sharif, will be a very, very serious matter. So all our other ibadat can be in its place. But if we did not fulfill the rights of the Quran Sharif, it can weigh very heavily against us on the day of Qiyamah. So Allah give us tawfiq to try and fulfill the rights fully of the Quran Sharif. As we mentioned, the one is Iman bil Quran, that we have full Iman on the whole Quran, that every Muslim says so. But when we analyze it on every ayat also, our full Iman must be there. If we can't understand it, this is what is Iman. Iman is not our understanding and what makes sense to me. Iman is to accept the word of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether we understand it or we don't understand it. And a person who wants to accept it only if he understands it, it is also a form of great pride in that person, that my understanding is very high, that I can understand the Quran Sharif. Where is the Quran Sharif? Where are our feeble minds? What is us, what is required of us, which is right at the beginning of the Quran Sharif, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ مَا أُنزِلَ, what has been revealed, that is what we have to bring Iman on. And those people who have the real thorough knowledge, Quran Sharif says, وَقَالَ رَاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ آمَنَّا بِهِ, that those who have the deep knowledge, who have drunk deep of the knowledge, they say, آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلُّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا, everything is from Allah, what Allah has revealed, we accept it. Hadrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says that there are many things which I have understood of deen. It comes in our mind, most of the things of deen we understand, so I've kept, so to say, one account for that. And the things that I don't understand, I believe in it, I accept it wholeheartedly. I've kept a separate account for that. And the day Allah gives me the understanding of it, I transfer it from that account to this account. So there are many things that we cannot understand. But we have to just, when it is established that it is the words of Allah, the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we have no option. This is what is called Iman, that we accept it. Not that we say what I understand, that I accept and I believe in. And what I don't understand, I don't believe in that, I don't accept that. That is not Iman. Iman is we accept wholeheartedly what we understand and what we don't understand. It is from Allah, we accept it. So all the other other rulings and laws of deen, whether they have to do with capital punishment, stoning of death, cutting of the hands, etc. And if our tabiat, our nature doesn't accept it also, we find it hard, but we accept it 100%, it is the law of Allah Ta'ala. And we accept it. And if Allah gives that understanding, we will see that that is the right way. What we are thinking and this pity that we have, that how can somebody's hand be cut, we will see that is completely wrong. That if a person has done wrong, his hand has to be cut, he has to be stoned to death, he has to be given 80 lashes, 100 lashes, for whatever the crimes are accordingly, and in that is the goodness, in there is kindness of mankind, kindness to people, because in that there is life for everyone. And Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala, the Lord Allah has made it that all people will live in peace in that case. And if we show pity to one person and we show cruelty to the rest of mankind, that's not sense at all. So we cannot understand everything. When we understand it, it makes sense to us. Everything of the Quran Sharif will make sense to us when we understand it. But our understanding is very, very limited. To understand our understanding, by one example, one alim, Maulana, explained about the system of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. For example, how Allah has kept this world. It is just suspended in space, not in air also, just in space where there is nothing. Allah is suspended, and that everyone understands and accepts also. The world is not standing on the horns of a bull, like some people believe. Or the world is not standing on some supports or anything. It is just suspended in space. And around the world, there is the atmospheric pressure of about 500 miles, 800 kilometers. And after that is just space. So when one Maulana explained this, then one bright spark who uses his brains, he said it isn't by the command of Allah that the earth is just suspended like this. But it is due to this atmospheric pressure, due to magnetic forces, etc., that the world is suspended like that. So, and very surprising also, one place in Canada, Toronto, where there is where they show very scientific things, and they had one whole section of Islamic scientific things. In there, they had also how the earth was suspended, but with all their magnetic forces which they have, and the pressure of atmosphere, they couldn't suspend the earth like that. It was supported by something. But whereas it should be that with all their technology, they should have suspended it with all winds blowing on it from different directions, or with magnets pulling it, and it is suspended. But there also, it was supported by a proper support. So anyway, Allah's Qudrat is that the earth is just suspended like that. So this person said it's the atmospheric pressure, magnetic forces. So Maulana took his stick and gave him one shot on his head. So he said, this is the problem of you. People can't explain to us. Then you want to force us to accept and believe. So I asked, why? What happened? So he said, you hit me and you want me to, forcing me to believe what you say. He said, but I didn't hit you. So he says, now on top of it, you're lying also, that you such a big Maulana, such a big beard you got, everything, and you're lying like this. So he said, but I didn't hit you. He said, then what happened then? He said, the magnet of the stick and the magnet of your head, it pulled the stick onto your head. So the stick came and it fell on your head. Then he realized that it isn't all magnetic forces. And also, Maulana told him, you must make shukr. The magnet in your head, your brains are very small. So he pulled it, but not so very hard. Otherwise your head should split into two. If it was a big magnet and it should pull it with force, it should split your head into two. So all these things are happening by the command of Allah. We can't understand. Our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, in one beautiful poem, he says, when the love of Allah comes in the heart, the secrets of Allah open up there. That is when a person will really understand Quran Sharif. Not just what we are studying even in a Darul Uloom and just the academic discussion, but when the love of Allah will come, then the secrets of Allah Ta'ala's system starts opening on a person. For that, Hazrat explained, like for example, the cutting of the hand. It's outwardly, we might think it seems barbaric, it seems very cruel or that. But when we understand, when the love of Allah comes and we understand that every law of Allah is based on love and kindness, so then we will be able to understand. So Hazrat explained that we have been given our two hands, our palms, in order to make a begging bowl and beg from Allah Ta'ala. And if you go and steal something, some small little thing, according to Sharia, it's all defined also, when will the hand be cut, how much did you steal, etc., all details. It's not just that you stole anything and your hand just gets cut. But anyway, whatever you stole, small or big, compared to the treasures of Allah, it is insignificant. It's got no relationship whatsoever. So Allah gave you your palms of your hand, your hands, to take from the treasures of Allah. And you didn't do that, and you intend to take something, some small thing. So you don't deserve this palms, you don't deserve this begging bowl to take from Allah Ta'ala. So Hadrat further also explains, like the president of the country, for example, somebody selling fruit and vegetable on the street corner, and as the president is passing there, he steals two potatoes from that person who's selling his little fruit and veggies on the street corner. Then what will we say of this president? He's the president of the country and he's stealing two tomatoes, two potatoes, and he puts it in his pocket. Like that, when we steal from people, you the president in the eyes of Allah. You have to take from the treasures of Allah. He takes from the government, he gets his pay, his salary, and he gets a very big salary. And you take from Allah Ta'ala's treasures. So Allah gave you your hands to take from Allah, and you must use them, and you went and take a small little thing. You are not deserving of this. Then one palm, one hand gets cut. And again, if you steal, then you're not deserving of that other hand also. So every command of Allah, where they also, لِذَكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ, Hazrat explained that man gets double of woman. Women are not responsible for their expenses at any time. Men are responsible. So Allah gave them also a share, which they don't really need also. And they getting half a share, they have been given a lot. When they don't need it at all, all their needs will be fulfilled by somebody else. So they don't need it at all. Half is a lot which Allah has honored the woman. When we don't have that love and understanding, we think that the rights of woman has been usurped, you've been taken away. But when we understand it with the love of Allah, we will see Allah has given great honor to the woman. So in every law of Allah, so for us it is to accept it wholeheartedly. If we can't, then we accept our weakness. It's my weakness. And these are things that a person doesn't speak about. Any doubts if he has or something, this is also one important point our ulama explained, that every question is not to be asked of every person. And it isn't to be asked everywhere. For example, you ask somebody, and you ask him a question, and he hasn't got the answer, your doubt will increase now. That who you thought should have the answer. And it's not to be asked everywhere. Like in a majlis, for example, a person asks a question, and the person who he asked, and he hasn't got the answer. It doesn't mean there isn't the answer. He hasn't got the answer. And nobody has got knowledge of everything. Everyone's knowledge is limited. وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. On top of every knowledgeable person, there is one who has got more knowledge. So if that person hasn't got it, other people might also get doubts in it. So therefore, it's not to be asked everywhere also. And it isn't to be asked of every person who we feel we will get the answer. And the true, genuine people, our mashayikh, if they don't know, they say clearly, I don't know. But that they're saying, I don't know, doesn't mean there isn't an answer. I don't know the answer, doesn't mean there isn't an answer. There is an answer. Everything, 100%, it is clear. And it will be made clear to us. But we don't understand everything. So, what we don't understand, we accept. That is where Iman comes in. Iman is, we accept it. We can find out, is it the law of Allah? Is it the word of Allah? Is this the correct understanding of the ayat? That we can ask. But once it is the word of Allah, we accept it wholeheartedly. So Allah give us that Iman. and on all the matters of what Quran, what Hadith, and also we know today it has become more clearer that the Quran, the Deen of Islam from Quran and Hadith, which we understood, and in our present days now we can see how it has been, it is trying to be changed. People are trying to put new explanations, new things, and trying to say what we understood for 1400 years, what the Ummah understood, they misunderstood. And now we got the right understanding. That is totally wrong. What the Ummah understood 1400 years, and from the time of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, which came through the Sahaba, the great ulama, that is the correct understanding of deen. Not what we today understand, and which is opposite to what they understood. That is not the understanding of deen. So this is very important that we have iman on that. And we, the Sahaba, the Quran Sharif says that the munafiqeen, they used to say, anu'minu kama amana sufaha. Must we believe how this, na'udhu billah, stupid people believe? That these people, they just accept everything. Whatever Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam say, they just accept it. Mi'raj, they just accept it. If we don't understand Mi'raj, and there are many people in the name of being Muslim, and in the name of Islam, they deny Mi'raj. The real physical Mi'raj of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they give some other explanation to it. That is totally wrong. The Mi'raj also, whether I can understand it or not, and it's not a thing that can come in the human mind like that. But our iman, we accept it. Like Hazrat Abu Bakr, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, on which he got the title of Siddiq. That he said, if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said so, then I believe it wholeheartedly. Before that there can be doubts, but if Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said it, then I believe it wholeheartedly. So all the commandments of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala, which Allah Ta'ala has given, whether it has to do with imaniyat, whether it is to do with masail and amal, practices, we accept it all wholeheartedly. So this is very important, otherwise a person, one ayat a person negates, and his whole iman is negated. So one Rasul, a person doesn't believe in one Nabi, and then his whole iman, imaniyat, the minute one part of it is negated, the whole of iman is negated. So, and it is a matter, as we try to explain, and we should try to explain to others also, it's not just a matter that I'm gone out of the fold of Islam. And well, if you say so, then let it be, but it doesn't matter. It's a matter of eternally burning, being tortured, being burned in the fire of Jahannam. And in a very, there will be disgrace and humiliation also there, all the time. It isn't that you're just going to tolerate it. And the fighting and all the azab that will come from all sides, and it will increase all the time. It's not even going to get used to it also, and increase all the time, and it will be forever and ever. So iman is a very, very great thing, and our whole iman comes from the Quran Sharif, what the Quran Sharif has taught us. And then we have to work continuously to get the proper understanding this iman, or the proper understanding of it, and then build our yaqeen on every command of Allah. The complete conviction, no matter what scientists say in the world, no matter what doctors say, no matter what politicians say, whoever can say what they want to, what Quran has said, that is absolute. And the things of this dunya, we all know, they are continuous, it just changes all the time. For example, many of us will remember, when we were small, then it was at a time that for anything, you just take an aspirin. Aspirin, Aspro also there was, for small headache, for anything, stomachache, anything, feeling down, just take an aspirin. Then came the time when aspirin was banned by the government. The health, that is very harmful for the heart. And now is the time again, it's prescribed for the heart again. It keeps your blood thin, it doesn't allow clots. So this is that they change all the time. The words of Allah, where they were, till the Qiyamah and forever, they will just remain there all the time. So we believe in that absolute word of Allah Tabaruk wa Ta'ala in all our matters, whether it has to do with inheritance, whether it has to do with divorce and talaq. We don't, we, Muslim, Allah protect us, we don't go to the law, to the court, and we give that preference over the law of Allah Ta'ala, what Allah has decreed. And where we fail, we should make tawbah and istighfar, admit our weakness, but we accept that our belief is exactly what our, what Allah has said. If we falter in our amal, we ask for forgiveness for that. But we don't justify ourselves. We don't make it permissible for ourselves that it is permissible for me, and we try and justify it. That is very dangerous. So Allah give us the proper iman, and it is necessary for us that we work on this properly and have the full conviction on every ayat of the Quran and every hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, whom Allah had blessed with this, and how they had believed. When one Jew and a Muslim had a dispute in a matter, Nabi Ali went to Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam. He gave Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam 100% fair, just and righteous, gave the verdict in favor of the Jew. It was in his favor, the case that was. When that munafiq, he thought that I'm a Muslim, so the ruling will definitely be given in my favor. But then that munafiq wasn't happy with this, with the decision of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, let us go to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And let him, because he knew Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he's got it very hard in for the Jews. So he will definitely give the ruling in my favor. But there was justice. There wasn't giving in this person's favor. The Quran Sharif says, when you have to give your evidence, whether it is to do somebody who is close to you, your family members, you give the right decision. And whether it is a rich person or poor person, don't take the path of the poor person also. He's poor, he's going to suffer. If he's wrong, he's wrong. Don't give the decision even in favor of the poor person, not in favor of the rich person, that because he's rich, we can expect favors from him, so we give it in his decision. No, what is the right thing? So when they came to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he heard that they were by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he went in his house, brought his sword, and immediately that person who was outwardly a Muslim, he beheaded him immediately. So this is that what is the ruling of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we must go by that 100%. Allah give us all tawfiq. Where we falter, we must ask for forgiveness. Let not pride come in and we want to justify ourselves. We ask for forgiveness. What we don't understand, iman is not our understanding. We accept it. If it's the word of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we accept it wholeheartedly. So Allah give us tawfiq in all the matters. Another great right of the Quran Sharif is muhabbat, love of the Quran Sharif. That also is a thing we have to see, how much have I got love of the Quran Sharif. And love also is not just words. Easy to say that I love somebody, but when the time comes, then how much do we prove ourselves? So the Quran Sharif also, if a person has got love of the Quran Sharif, he will make it his companion. All the time he will be, and mashallah, the whole history of Islam until now, present day, there are those people who have that love of the Quran, and the Quran is really their companion. They are all the time occupied with the Quran Sharif, and they have great, great regard for the Quran Sharif. Today we have to check ourselves, with the Quran Sharif one side and the cell phone in the other side. What do we give preference to? How much do we give preference to all the to the cell phone and everything which is connected? And the Quran Sharif, how much do we really relate to it? And how much love have we got for the Quran Sharif? So we should have the great love for the Quran Sharif. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to give lot of bayans, especially on the completion of the hifz of the Quran Sharif, on Ar-Rahman, عَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنِ, that Allah is most kind, most gracious, most merciful. Therefore, He taught the Qur'an. And another indication Hazrat should give from here, the lesson that we should take, that the Qur'an must be taught with love. Then the teaching of the Qur'an, if we taught the Qur'an, made somebody a very good Hafiz Qari, but with so much of hiding, etc., and we created hatred in that person for the Ustad and hatred for the Qur'an Sharif, though he became a very good Hafiz Qari, but we have failed. If he learned to hate the Qur'an Sharif, that because of this I got so much hiding. And he hated his parents, they forced me to carry on. He hated his Ustad for hitting and giving him punishment. And some places, how the Ustad hit also, that is a whole thing. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali was very, very much against that. That the hiding which is given, and some very, very brutal and very bad hiding, so the Quran must be taught with love. Also how beautifully our Kabir and our ulama explained that the real successful Ustad of Quran Sharif is not one who has taught the child and he reads perfectly. Everything of his is perfect. He's a Hafiz also, Qari, everything. But the real successful Ustad is that Ustad who taught the child, embedded in the child the love of the Quran Sharif. That is the real successful Ustad. That whether the child became a Hafiz or not, but the love of the Quran came into the child. The love of Asatiza and Ulama, the love of Deen came into the child. So this love of the Quran Sharif is a very, very important thing. We have to try and cultivate it in us first of all. And we have to say how much of love, and this is to, you say words is alright, but on a daily basis, what is my attachment to Quran Sharif? How much do I read Quran Sharif? There are people who for long period that we don't even touch the Quran Sharif. There are those who will just perhaps touch the Quran Sharif on a Friday, those only in Ramadan. And unfortunately there are those that even out of a whole year, we don't even have any relationship with the Quran Sharif. So if we have that love, then that attachment with the Quran Sharif. And then again, mashallah, there are all the time those people also, grown up people, but that love and the desire for Quran Sharif, age was not a deterrent in learning the Quran Sharif. One person in America, at the age of 90, he went to an alim and asked him to attend his graduation of his Hifz Khatam. At the age of 90 he was learning. And how many other people, ripe old ages, but they kept on learning the Quran Sharif. One lady who used to come home to Apa, when a grown up lady, everything, when she finished her first supara, tears, she couldn't Nazra, just looking inside, and she said, I finished one supara of the Quran. She couldn't keep back her tears, so happy she was. So all the time, the Quran learning and teaching, which we will discuss later, is also an ongoing. But the love of the Quran Sharif must be there. More than anything else, we should love the Quran Sharif. And the Quran is a great, great kitab. And the honor, the respect that it demands from us is very, very great. So we should have this attachment. And in our children also. Today we will encourage them on this schooling. We will encourage them on many other things. Haram things also. The type of clothes, the love they got for clothes. The love they got for their bicycles, for their toys, for other things. But we have to think in our mind, did we ever try and create the love of the Quran in the child? MashaAllah, really till today also there are those parents who gave the first preference for their children, Quran Sharif. That we see that the Quran is the first thing the child must learn. After that it can go and learn dini matters, but even dini matters afterwards, first the Quran Sharif. And they live by it. And the house, the love of the Quran is known in the house. So Allah give us also tawfiq that we really have the love love and then respect also. How much really does a heart is a Quran, how much respect has he got in our heart? And if he's a doctor, he's an engineer, he's an accountant, architect or whatever else, then how much more don't we have regard for those people? But for the Quran Sharif and for the carriers of the Quran Sharif, how much of respect have we got? So Allah Ta'ala give us the true love of the Quran Sharif also, and the genuine love. And that with that then, another very important aspect, with the love of the Quran, the azmat, the respect and honor of the Quran Sharif also. Just the love alone is not sufficient. A person becomes very casual in love also. Like for example, with your children, you love them, the little child, you speak anyway with the child. You'll blabber out how the child blabbers also. With your wife also, in love, you'll say many things also. And you'll even joke, etc. But the Quran Sharif is not a kitab of jokes at all whatsoever. And nothing of any joke must be attached with the Quran Sharif. And like that, with all deeni matters, many times deeni matters also, we make them, like for example, with regard to the cell phone, Maulana Hanif Jalandhari, Damat Barakatum, very senior alim of Pakistan, who is the Nazim-e-Ala of the Wifaqul Madaris of Pakistan, about the cell phone, he explained that it has become so common, and even our deeni gatherings in masjids, he says, it has become like though we are in a wedding hall. How in a wedding hall everyone is casual, and everyone is joking, laughing, and even mixing man and woman and all that. Because of the cell phone, he says that has come right into the masjid also. So our whole deen must be with azmat. Our deeni matters must not be like a jokey thing, or not like this light-hearted thing. Everything of deen must be have that that respect and the awe of deen. It doesn't mean that there isn't a person is not light-hearted on its occasion, and very limited also, and with conditions a person makes some jokes also. But our deen by and large is a serious matter. It is a thing of great respect and honor. Ulama have written, if a person uses ayats of the Quran Sharif like in a joking way, also his iman is in great jeopardy. He loses his iman on that. So the Quran Sharif is not for making jokes and things like that. So all our deeni matters also should be treated also with great respect and the honor that it deserves. And the highest of all is the Quran Sharif. So it's with great azmat of the Quran Sharif also. With that are all the adab of the Quran Sharif also. That we must have wudu, that we all understand, alhamdulillah, that we cannot touch the Quran Sharif without wudu. We must have our wudu. Then even then, that our sitting position by the Quran Sharif, for example, one other thing, with the Quran on the phone today. And it is a common thing also that a person, many people ask this question, that I'm lying on my bed with my back resting to the back on the pillow or whatever, and I've got the Quran on my phone, my legs are stretched out, and I'm reading Quran Sharif. So the permission is given. You can have the Quran on your phone. You can read from there. But all things which are contrary to the basics of deen comes with all its baggage also. Then all that disrespect also is shown. And then a person becomes casual with the Quran Sharif. So the Quran Sharif, we should handle it also like with two hands always. Try and avoid this handling it with one hand. Show the respect of it. We take the Quran Sharif in our hand, we should try and kiss it also. Put it on our head also. The respect and the love of the Quran Sharif demands this. We should show it that it is a very respect. And if we as parents in the home, we show the respect, then the children will also, it will come in them. But if we don't show that respect, it can't come into the children. The same thing, the ustad in the class, If he shows the reverence, the respect, the honor of the Quran Sharif, then it will come in the students also. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we have this, the love of the Quran Sharif also, and the love that is with azmat, that is with respect for the Quran Sharif also. Then a third, fourth great right of the Quran Sharif is to learn the Quran Sharif. And this learning process must be from cradle to grave, right through till the end. There is no ending to the learning of the Quran Sharif. In any way, even if it is our nazara, if we keep on learning, there is no limit, no end to the perfection of the reading of the Quran Sharif also. Though we have passed and we even get 100 when we gave our exam as when we read the Quran Sharif. But the Quran, and also another aspect is Quran Sharif and everything else also. But the Quran Sharif hadith, specific hadith has come that it is, if you don't look after the Quran, just like you don't tie your camel, the camel will run away. Like that, you don't look after the Quran Sharif, Quran Sharif will also a person. And the real punishment of forgetting the Quran, which our ulama explained, is not like the hafiz who forgets his Quran. That's also very bad. But when a person forgets reading nazara, and this is a common thing also that happens. There are many people, and it has happened. Allah protect us all. That a person is particular going to maktab till standard 5, grade 7. When he comes to high school, now then he feels too much homework, too much work. Now he doesn't go to madrasa. And usually that is the age of negligence also. We don't touch the Quran. We don't read the Quran Sharif. And this carries on right through till matrik. Now he's becoming more and more busy. Then it comes that a person realizes that I've now forgotten certain alphabets also. And he doesn't know how to pronounce. Now if he goes to college, university, he goes and work, and still no connection with deen, another 5 years passes. He gets married, and perhaps another 5 years also. Now when he takes the Quran Sharif, many people have forgotten even to read the Quran Sharif. And the same will happen if one is a hafiz of Quran. The same will happen if one is a qari. Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, on one journey of his, he came to South Africa, and one student that studied by Maulana, and his reading was exceptionally good. Hazrat asked him to read again, and when he read, he said, some rust has come, because that continuous practice, if it is not there, then it starts fading. Whether it's a little bit or whatever, but it starts fading. So the Quran Sharif, and these are the treasures of Allah which Allah has given us, and if we don't honor, respect them, Allah Ta'ala takes it away. Maulana Jafar Sahib, Mufti Jafar Sahib of Bangladesh, explained that one person came to him who was an MP or somebody in parliament, and his daughter at the age of 8 or something had completed Hibs of Quran. So then he wanted to have a big jalsa, and he wanted to do it in his way, as a member of parliament or whatever, in that way. So when he explained how, so Mufti Sahib told him that Allah who gave your daughter the Quran, the same Allah has got the power to take it away and snatch it away again. So don't do anything which will show the disrespect of the Quran. Today in the name of Hifz Quran, Khatams also, lot of wrong things are happening. And how much it is done for show, how much it is done with sincerity, all that Allah Ta'ala knows. And all the wrong things, the videoing that carries on, some places even music carrying on. And music today is in almost everything. The way the enemy shaitan is working, almost nothing, good deeny programs, but the music in the background. And if it isn't the clear, open music, it is that somehow some sounds are made, which the muftis say, the effect is of music, it is music. Though in the musical instruments are not used, etc. Just as a photo is a photo, no matter how it is made. Whether it is drawn with the hand, whether it is a camera, whether it is digital, whatever, a photo is a photo. You can't change that. So like that also, all this music, all this wrong thing, the intermingling of sexes, which is so common also. They say it's separate because there are two doors which are, but the two doors are alongside one another. And we're all coming in, and the parda which is kept there, such a short and a flimsy parda, just for name's sake, we're just really bluffing ourselves. If anyone makes a fool and bluffs us, we become very angry. Really, when it dawns upon us how we bluffed ourselves in our life and in deeni matters with Allah, and nobody, you can bluff the world all the time also, all the people also, you can bluff them. But Allah, you can't bluff Him for 1 second also. So it is very, very important that we don't make any jokes, we don't take anything light with regard to any deeni matter, and especially the Quran Sharif. So anyway, the learning of the Quran Sharif, that should be also within us. Allah give us tawfiq that we make it our mission, and our great, great ulama always regarded themselves as students of deen. Even when they were teaching, they say we are teaching to learn. And the best learning process starts when you teach. And if you have those bunch of students who ask questions, then you have to study even more. When we were in Germany, it was famous. When we were there, all the lessons of hadith, the final year, was more like a debate session. The students used to debate with the ustad. And Durban is primarily a Hanafi institute, but students from Kerala should come who are all Shafis. And those students used to come who taught Bukhari Sharif, the Hadith Kitabs, for 8, 10, 20 years. They came and study again. So what knowledge they had. And with the Ustad, really it was like a battleground. And on one masala, what I can remember in Abu Dawood Sharif, perhaps it was Amin bil Jahar or whatever one masala, for 1 week the whole debate just on that carried on. Till finally the Ustad said, now this chapter is closed. He said, a whole night I didn't sleep, so he had to learn all the questions that are going to be asked. And they are also proficient ulama, Shafi ulama, and they had all the proofs and the delight, and they were presenting it with proper respect and everything. But this is how it was. So the learning process also must be there all the time. The Quran Sharif, that we learn it all the time. Never take it that now I know it and it is right, but I have to learn. And of course there are various aspects of the Quran Sharif, which is the mother and fountain source of all knowledge. Whatever knowledge there is, this is a mother and fountain source. Islamic knowledge based on the Quran Sharif reached its height in Spain. And all what today we call as Western knowledge, we call it Western or Dunya's knowledge, most of it is taken, the roots of it, whether it's medicine, whether it's astronomy, whether it's what to do with optician and eyes, all was taken from there. And all that was from the masjid. And it was from the Quran. So the Quran Sharif is the mother source of all knowledge. And there is no end to learning the Quran Sharif. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to learn and to become, be like students of deen. And then another great rite of the Quran Sharif, after having learned it, the recitation of the Quran Sharif. That we recite the Quran Sharif. And that is not for the end of it also, but to recite the Quran Sharif. Which Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said, that the rite of the recitation of the Quran Sharif is, that a person must make 2 khatams in a year. From which it appears that at least 1 khatam in the whole year, 1 khatam in the month of Ramadan, which is a general practice of the whole ummah, all along, that to make khatam of the Quran Sharif. And alhamdulillah, there are those people who make how many khatams? There are present people, now presently, 1 khatam a day they make. In our country, in various places, every one khatam a day they make. Others 15 suparas. Other people, even out of Ramadan, the recitation, so much of Quran Sharif they read. So to end, when we make one khatam in the month of Ramadan, in 29-30 days, then in 11 months, what is it difficult to make one khatam? At least one khatam. And this is for the ordinary Muslim who is regarded as a pious Muslim, or a person who is a hafiz of Quran, a alim of deen, have to read much more. But the bare minimum for ordinary Muslim, one khatam at least, and it's nothing much. If we just read 2-3 pages, and for ladies, young women who have every month they cannot read Quran Sharif for up to 10 days or so, if they will read 4-5 pages whenever they are permitted to read, one khatam comfortably can be made. And if we read for a woman, for example, one page with every namaz, how little, isn't it? And for men, if we read our 2-3 pages, just namaz, before namaz come 2 minutes earlier, sit longer 2 minutes after namaz, and just read your one page. So easy. One good friend who is a very top businessman, he's in the gold business, and he also is a hafiz of Quran, and a very good hafiz also, and you're fully in business. If you look at him, his size, his business is a very top business. So I told him, and every year he makes his tarawih. So I told him, you're so involved in business, how? So he said, very easy. 1 hour before Fajr, I read my 3 suparas every day. So I've got no problem. When Taraweeh, Ramzan comes, I've got no problem whatsoever. So you say, every year before Fajr, every day before Fajr, my 3 paras, I read them. So one other great alim who has passed away, he was visiting at his daughter's place. And they, on a Sunday, they were going for a picnic to the sea in Durban area on the coast. So when they were ready to go, they told him, come. So he said, I have to read my 5 suparas. They said, the whole day you can read at the beach, the whole day you can read. He says, I never leave my house until I haven't done my 5 suparas. And many, many other instances of how much people read Quran Sharif. So recitation of Quran Sharif, the minimum is 1 supara in Ramadan, 1 supara, one khatam in Ramadan, 1 khatam in the whole year. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. So and then of course the great other right, which is the basic right, amal bil Quran, to practice on the Quran Sharif. We should try, and every teaching of the Quran should come fully into our lives. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah, that the love of the Quran, iman bil Quran, love of the Quran, azmat and grand greatness of the Quran Sharif, learning of the Quran Sharif, a continuous process also, and then tilawat of the Quran Sharif also, and then to make amal also. May Allah give us all tawfiq, and that we really cherish the Quran, and we become men of the Quran. May Allah make that the real, the Quran, if the Quran is in our lives, if that person, the ummah, if Quran is in the ummah, Allah will raise the ummah. It's not by money, it's not by dunya's education and knowledge, it's not by knowing how to run a country, the politics, but it is all based on the Quran Sharif. Our respect and our honor, our goodness of deen, dunya and akhirah, our health, our wealth, our everything is to do with the Quran Sharif. Allah bring it in our lives, inshallah. Subhanallah.